All right, tonight, take your Bibles, please. Go to Acts chapter 3. I thought it'd be just so appropriate maybe to start a series of teachings, at least for myself, on the book of Acts. You know, our fellowship, we changed our fellowship name there. Oh, gosh, it's been quite a number of years ago now. From San Diego Biblical Studies Fellowship to Acts Now Fellowship. And our, I don't know if you call it the motto or something, but underneath where it says Acts Now Fellowship, it says Living the Book of Acts Today. And so, you know, I thought it'd be appropriate, kind of fun, just to go through some of the records in the book of Acts. Maybe we can do them chronologically. But really, it's the Acts of the Spirit. It's the Acts of the Spirit as the apostles and the disciples and others were moved to move into the realm of the miraculous. And, you know, over the years, we've sung this cool little song, and I thought I'd play it for you here before we really get into it, okay? Should be in Acts chapter 3. We want to start in verse 1. I want to just briefly look at this record. And I thought the words of that song were just so appropriate. Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. He asked for alms and held out his palms. And this is what Peter did say. And we're going to read this record. And I think it just shows us the simplicity of what we have if we're willing to step out on it. It reminds me of what Robert Wilkinson shared at the Celebration of Life. He said, you know, sometimes we just have to take risks. Sometimes we have to step out of the boat. Sometimes we have to step into the, in a place that, you know, is not so comfortable. But, you know, once you make that step, it seems that things change. I don't know if the word is easier, but as you get engaged in these situations, the Spirit of God begins to move. And this is a tremendous record. Verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, here it is, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and what? Walk. And verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and leaping and praising God. And I'll bet this guy was walking and leaping and singing glory, hallelujah, and every other song he knew, if he knew any. But he was just so blessed because he had been lame, and now he has been made completely whole. How? By something that Peter and John had to give to him. They said, "Such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Verse 10, "And they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered the people, 'You men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Why do you look so earnestly on us as though somehow our own power or holiness we made this man to walk?' Verse 13, 'The God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus Christ, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let them go.'" He's kind of getting a little confrontational here. Verse 14, "But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." That was Barabbas, right? Remember, they had to choose? And they chose a convicted murderer over Jesus. Verse 15, "You killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Verse 16, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and you know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Verse 17, "And now, brethren, I know that you did it through ignorance, as did your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, so hath he hath so fulfilled. Repent you therefore, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you." And he kind of goes through this historical record because he's speaking to the Israelites, the Judeans, who had this background of knowledge of things in the Old Testament. Verse 25, like he says, "You are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up Jesus, his son Jesus, him sent to bless you, sent him to bless you, and in turning away every one of you from iniquities." Now, this caused quite a stir. This didn't just sort of randomly happened, and then there was no fallout from it. I mean, this was I guess every miracle is a major miracle, but I'm going to say it was a major miracle because all the people in that surrounding areas were so familiar with this particular lame man, because it said he was laid daily at the temple gate, beautiful. And so they saw him. They were familiar with him. So all of a sudden, there is a radical change that has occurred. This gentleman, who I don't believe ever is called by name, this gentleman was walking, leaping, and praising God. How? Just a simple thing that happened. He was looking for an alms. He was looking for help. Peter and John, they were about to go into the temple at the hour of prayer. They looked at him. And they said, "Silver and gold, we don't have money for you, my friend, but we do have, and this is what I give, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he looked at him and he said, Not this time, guys. No, that's not what happened. No, he took him by the right hand. He lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He, leaping up, stood, verse 8 of chapter 3, and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. Verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that was him, which sat kind of like as a beggar at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And so this whole story begins to unfold as the result of two believers. Let's call them George and Barney. George and Barney were walking along one time, and they saw someone who had a need. And that person was reaching out to them for help. Now, George and Barney don't have silver and gold. They don't have pockets full of money, nor was that the direction that God was really leading them. But the one thing that we do have is we have the Spirit of God within us that is enabling us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us that authority, that power to use that name. And these guys back then said, hey, don't look at us like somehow it's our own power. This Jesus who you crucified, he's the one who's enabled us. He went away so we could have the Comforter, the power of the Holy Spirit. Like Book of Acts, reading up to before Acts chapter 3, Day of Pentecost, all these things that happened, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that's one of nine manifestations, right? One of nine. Here they operated possibly more than one at a time. And so what? You know, whatever. The end result was God got magnified, his son was glorified, and the man was so blessed. And the record goes on almost all the way through chapter 4, which we're not going to take that time to read, but it really is fascinating. And but you then again see the, how they make reference to the name and to what each individual person who's a Christian believer has the authority and power to do in any given situation. So George and Barney are in this situation, and they say, hey, you know what, buddy, fella, we don't have any money, but what we do have, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're healed. Those legs grow strength. We're getting out of the boat. We're speaking the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it's just such a great record. Look in Acts chapter 4, verse 6. Let's just see what the response was from the Pharisees and the rulers. Really something, because this had quite an impact. Actually, there were 5,000 people, it says in verse 4, which heard the word and believed. And it came to pass, verse 5, on the morrow, that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? And listen to Peter's response. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, you rulers of the people, elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole, completely delivered, completely made whole. And actually, it took these guys off. They didn't really even know what to say. They were just flabbergasted in some ways because of the miracle that had happened. And this many times is what draws people, is because they see the power of God. Did they see it in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. Everywhere he went, he was casting out demons. He was healing the sick. He was doing what he did as a display of the power of God in manifestation. And now he's enabled us. He's given us that same power. See? Look at this, verse 13 of chapter 4. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed, he was standing right there with them. Guess what? They were tongue-tied. They couldn't say anything against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves. What are we going to do, these men, for that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them? It was seen by everyone, all those people in Jerusalem. We can't deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, you know what? Let's intimidate these guys. Let's threaten them that they just don't talk anymore and don't speak anymore to any man in that name. And they called them, verse 18 of chapter 4, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Verse 20, for we cannot but speak those things which we have both seen and heard. And so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done, for the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The king stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against thy Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Verse 29, great, great verse. And now, Lord, behold their threatening. And grant unto the servants that with all boldness, they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, verse 31, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Oh my gosh, what an incredible record, guys. This same Jesus, this same power, this same name is available to each and every one of us. We don't have to wait. It's now. It's the eternal now. Now are we the sons of God. And it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that what he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But you know what? Even in this world, we are as he is. We've got the power of Christ within us. Jesus said, it's pertinent. It's important that I go away so that I can send a comforter to you. I will always be with you. See, we have the connection. We don't have to pray for the connection. We have to believe that we constantly have the connection and the power and the authority to use that name. So, be encouraged tonight. See? Be encouraged tonight. God is awesome. He is great. And we serve a wonderful, wonderful God. power of your Spirit be working within us, Father, as we go forth into the valley, really, of human need. And we're the ones who've got the power. We're the ones who have the answers. And I pray that we are spiritually moved to bring hope and deliverance, to open the eyes of the blind, to give sight to them, and to heal up the brokenhearted, and preach deliverance, Father, that we truly may be a light in this dark world until that time that our Lord and Savior returns and the trumpet sounds, and we shall all be taken to our heavenly home. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.